Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you have joined us today. We're looking forward to the dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're interviewing today a dear friend and brother in Christ, Pastor Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia. And we're talking about the issue that has faced the churches today across America and continues to face us. And we need to know what to do, how to do, and how we need to respond. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or the comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for taking my call once again. This is Raymond Johnson, Biblical Concepts Ministries. And thank you for your guest that's on today. We appreciate these ministers that are getting involved and taking a stand. So thanks for letting me kind of crash your call. I just wanted to I don't want to veer off of subject. I think what we're talking about is always kind of under the same umbrella. This is Friday, so I guess we could pretend we're Rush Limbaugh and say it's Open Line Friday. just a quick thing, and this all ties in together, but we are going into a Friday afternoon of a three-day holiday weekend. It's a major holiday weekend. But as soon as we come back from that, Tuesday is a pretty important day in Jacksonville. There's the city council is meeting again. So just a quick announcement for your listeners, kind of a call to action, then I'll let you get back to it. But the city council this Tuesday will be meeting at their regular meeting, and it is taking up, which we have already discussed for those that have been listening, the so-called bathroom bill, the HRO, so-called the Human Rights Ordinance, as you call it, the Human Reprobate Ordinance. And so we just want to make sure that the listeners are aware that this Tuesday is the day that it is now on what we call second reading, and it is required by law to have a public hearing. So, but the unfortunate thing is the city council is not meeting in person, and so they're meeting on this Zoom. You can go to Zoom.com or whatever that is. I want to give you a website. So there's this some concerned citizens have come together, and we've got up this Truth for, the number four, Truth for Jax, J-A-X, truthforjax.com. That's truthforjax.com. You can go there, and in one click of a button, you can email all the city council members to let them know that you oppose the bill. And there is specific instructions on how to view this online meeting. I know that everybody's not technically savvy. It's really not that hard, but all you need to know, all these details to email council, to be able to view this meeting online and to be able to speak, you could actually, they're taking public comment, you have to sit in front of a computer with a camera and do all that stuff, but all those details are there. So if your listeners are, if they'll do that, that'd be a big help. We need to let our city council members know that we oppose this. Specifically during this time when we cannot fully and accurately participate. So please, Truth for Jax, share that with your pastor, try to get an announcement or your church's social media, whatever they use, truthforjax.com, and let's get involved this Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock to oppose this HRO law and protect our religious freedom and, keep men out of women's restrooms. So maybe y'all can discuss that a little bit. But thank you for allowing me just to make that quick announcement.
Thank you so much for dropping that information on us today that we might let our listeners know. By the way, there are a couple of thoughts that I'll take a moment to address on that on next Tuesday's broadcast. We will be dealing with that exclusively, talking about what is taking place with the HRO. But may I say this, ladies and gentlemen, I would invite you to, even before that, turn to your Google, the Google thing, as President Bush used to call it, and Google the Florida Sunshine Law, and look at what the Florida Sunshine Law says in relationship to the legal mandated requirement for city council. They cannot legally pass this bill by Zoom It must be in person, where people will have the right to, in person, communicate, ask questions, and challenge our governmental leadership. That bill is dead on arrival if they pass it from the legal standpoint. If they pass the bill, it is an illegal passage of a bill that then would be should be deemed illegal and unconstitutional, because the Florida Sunshine Law mandates and has no exceptions. It doesn't say except for coronavirus, and then you can do it by Zoom. It mandates that it be done in the sunshine, that is open, so that citizens can have dialogue and input with the laws that are being made. So just tuck that in your little cap for a moment. Analyze that, look at that, pray over that, and consider it. We'll talk about that on our future broadcast. But we're talking about today the war against God. And literally, when you talk about the HRO, ladies and gentlemen, that's a war against God. That's where the morals and ethics and values of Christians, the biblical Christianity, are being attacked by the socialist, Marxist, leftist, and especially by the sodomite agenda today called the LGBTQ. But we're talking about this moment. What's happening with our churches? Pastors are being arrested and put in jail. Even parking lot worship is called illegal. One pastor had his services interrupted. I mentioned that before the top of the hour news, where they came in and literally the police officers wrote tickets. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says Louisiana pastor ticketed 25 times placed on house arrest for holding church services in defiance of the state order. The article says, although the Attorney General William Barr and the Department of Justice have warned states to be wary of violating religious liberties amid the draconian state lockdown orders during the coronavirus pandemic, one pastor has nonetheless found himself on house arrest as a result of violating the state orders not to hold church services. This article continues, says, since the busing incident, Pastor Spell has received 25 citations and has been arrested 3 times for holding religious services. He now finds himself on house arrest. He says, and I quote, I'm on my 25th citation today, he said Thursday, according to Life News, adding that animals have been treated better than authorities have treated me, as he describes how he has been forced to wear an ankle bracelet in the home for 13 days to stop him from holding religious services. He says, I'm under house arrest. When I cross the threshold of my door, I'm a fugitive from justice. Pastor Spell asserts that his inalienable rights to preach the gospel in his church are not given to him by a person, but given to him by God. Pastor Spell went on to say that he believes in it is an anti-God government. Anti-God, hear me, it's an anti-God government stance to tell a man that he cannot go to church or that he cannot preach. And says he believes that governors and authorities have overstepped their bounds. He says, I'm telling pastors that they cannot preach is something that is unconstitutional and ought not to be adhered to. Here's another article, and I'm thankful for this dear pastor. In fact, I wanted to call him and see if we could interview him, but didn't have an opportunity to. Baltimore pastor rips up cease and desist order letter mid his sermon. We're going to do it God's way, he said. Let me just read you blurbs from the article. A Baltimore pastor tore up a cease and desist letter amid his sermon Wednesday night after local officials threatened a $5,000 fine early in the week if he holds any worship services. Stacy Shiflett, S-H-I-F-L-E-T-T, Shiflett, pastor of the 400-member Calvary Baptist Church in the city, held a Wednesday night service with more than 100 congregants in the 600-capacity sanctuary. Calvary was in compliance with Hogan's order, but in defiance of the Baltimore County Department of Health and Human Services. He says, and I quote, either we have liberty to worship or we have to have permission to worship, he told Fox News. Quote, it has become abundantly clear if we settle for permission, we will never have liberty again in America,
amen.
End quote.
Amen.
The Baptist pastor posted a video shredding his the cease and desist order on Twitter, in which he can be heard as he's preaching, quote, with this cease and desist order in my hand, the Bible says to the New Testament church not to forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but as so much more as we see the day approaching, and the closer we get to Jesus coming back, he said, the more church we ought to be having and not less, end quote. Further, he says, now that God's parameters, he added, he said, that's God's parameters. So I'm tearing up this cease and desist order right here. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to do it God's way. God tells us how to worship, and nobody else should interfere with that worship. We're challenging our local officials to render the church essential as we can open our doors without intimidation. David Gibbs III of the National Center for Life and Liberty and legal counsel for Calvary Baptist Church told local CBS News, if Walmart is open, it's time to open the churches. The pastor doesn't plan on budging, he said. I don't plan on shutting the church. If they fine us, I'm going to pay the fine, but it's unconstitutional. They don't have a leg to stand on, and we will not close our church door. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If about 150, 250, 500, 1,000 churches had said that, had taken that stand 8 weeks ago, we would not be fighting this battle today. I've said very clearly and very succinctly, Pastor Davis, I've said, they can't put us all in jail.
Amen.
If we take the stand that we're simply going to be obedient to what God says, we wouldn't be fighting this battle now about whether we can have the churches open or whether we must close our church doors. It's antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. But Pastor Davis, here's, let me take one more moment. Then I'm going to ask you some questions and let you share with us some scriptures that we can challenge our pastors, challenge the Christians listening today. They'll be obedient to the word of God. But here's one, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe is absolutely the apex of what I'm screaming so loudly about. It is the apex of what we see taking place in America. It is the fulcrum of what is happening. And I believe we need to, it demands our attention, ladies and gentlemen, as to what we see happening. Listen, you might say, well, I'm not a pastor. You might say, well, I can just go to another church, or I can stay home. Or some panty waist pastors have put it, that we have online services and that's all right. No, it's not all right. God didn't say to do it online. You can't have a funeral online. You can't have communion online. You can't have a baptism online. You can't do a wedding online. It is something that must be done in a biblical fashion, and that's in person in a church, Pastor Davis.
Amen. Amen.
This article says, and it's from Matthew Staver with Liberty Counsel. He says, many Democrat governors who call for the absolute separation of church and state now want the state to control the church. Maine, that's the state of Maine, Maine Governor Janet Mills, whom Liberty Counsel is now suing in federal court on behalf of Calvary Chapel of Bangor, Maine, is one such example. Governor Mills prohibits all church gatherings, including drive-in services. She now says churches will not be able to reopen until she, that's the governor, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a tyrant, until she is satisfied with the metrics. But she will not say what the metrics mean. So there's no way to know when Governor Mills will be satisfied. Quote, even after the metrics are reached, churches will have to apply to reopen and will be chosen based on a checklist of requirements developed by the state. As of this writing, Matt Staver with the Liberty Council says, as of this writing, the checklist has not been released by the state of Maine. Further, Matt Staver says from Liberty Council, churches that fully comply with Governor Mills' demand, whenever they are revealed and are approved by her, will be given a badge, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, will be given a badge to display outside their church, indicating that the church has fully complied and is approved by Governor Mills to have worship services. And Matthew Staver with Liberty Council says, the very idea of governor-approved churches flies in the very face of both the First Amendment and all biblical principles of governance and lawful authority, end quote. Matthew Staver of Liberty Counsel further states this. He says, let me explain. Constitutionally, any governmental-authorized church is illegal. Hear me. He says, constitutionally, any government-authorized church is unconstitutional. Well, let that sink in a moment. Why is it unconstitutional? Because the church is not responsible for getting government approval to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we came to America to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to be free. This is the reason our founding fathers codified it in our Bill of Rights as the First Amendment, is that we have the liberty and the freedom to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Matthew Slaver with Liberty Counsel says, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution clearly forbids the government from making any law respecting the establishment of religion, dictating which church or approved church and required approved churches to display a government-issued badge on the building are clear violations of our First Amendment. Further, he states, while it is debatable whether governors may dictate business closures, the First Amendment protection of religious liberties is not debatable at all. Local, state, and federal governments may not, hear me, may not dictate rules or regulations for a church to open and to do business, including when and how those churches worship. I don't think, ladies and gentlemen, it can get any more dogmatically clear than that. That the First Amendment is what we ought to cling to and recognize. First of all, it is Jesus Christ that set us free on Mount Calvary 2,000 plus years ago. And we are free, and as a free people, our founding fathers codified that in our Bill of Rights, and we need to hang on to that and say God gave us these rights, and government's not going to take it away. Pastor Davis, what do you say? What do you feel that we need to do as Christians and as pastors and as a nation? How do we respond to such things as this, the draconian measures that we're seeing taking place with our mayors and our governors and some places the city council and the city leadership? Should we bow? Should we bend? Should we close? Speak to our churches, speak to our pastors, speak to our Christians that's listening today. Give some words of wisdom from the Word of God as to what we need to do and say.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, the first thing I think we should do as leaders in particular is to equip ourselves with knowledge.
Yes.
Because that's another one of those enemies that the church is facing on today. Ignorance.
That's right.
If we are not aware of what our rights are as pertaining to the government, I mean, if we're reading the Word of God, we know the Word of God, we're preaching and teaching the Word of God, we're living the Word of God, then we know what that part says. But anytime government inserts something in there that doesn't line up with the Word, then we need to know that.
Yes.
And we need to make sure that we let our congregations, our brothers and sisters in Christ,
right,
know so that when they face these situations, Dr. Youngblood, they won't respond in so much fear.
Right.
That's the one thing I see that this thing has accomplished more than anything else.
Fear.
Don't get us wrong. We know that the virus is real. We know that you have to take measures to protect yourself, these different things like that. But there's also an element of fear out there that's so great until I see people riding around in their private automobiles wearing a mask on their face. Some people, the minute that they step out their houses, they think they have to have a mask on. I mean, that's too much fear. In other words, it seems like to me, individuals are fearing men more than they are fearing God.
Yes.
And this is a sin, Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely.
We need to really catch hold of faith and come to realize who is it that's providing us with salvation?
Right.
Who is it that's providing us with healing? Who is it that delivers us when we get in trouble? Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm 91, and I started off reciting this psalm at the very beginning of the virus.
Amen.
God promised us that if we obey his word, when it gets down into those latter verses, he says, because we obey his word, because we love him and worship him, no plague will even come near our dwelling. Amen. That's a guarantee.
Amen.
So pastors, Christians, anybody that's listening to us on today, make sure that you understand what your rights are pertaining to the government. If you don't have a copy of what the government says, the civil rights, these different types of things like that, the Bill of Rights, you can Google almost anything today and come
right
up with it. Get that, read through it, make yourself aware of what's there. And then take that and compare it with the Word of God and see where it's going off at. If it goes in any other direction than lining up with the Word of God, then we know something is wrong.
Something wrong.
And we need to take other measures to make sure that we keep the ship sailing,
amen,
in the right direction.
And Pastor, you touched on that so succinctly and so clearly. We need to faith God and not fear government. But what I have found that has taken place, and the government's done how can I call it, a bang-up job with petrifying the people. It's because 24/7 on the Communist Network News and the other news media, that's hammering away on that you need to stay sequestered. In fact, I found it fascinating, Pastor Davis, in watching the I turn every now and then and risk a moment or two on CNN.
Amen.
And those anchor people on CNN, they were just aghast that the CDC now has removed anything on their website about regulations for churches. Whereas before this past Tuesday, I believe it was, Monday or Tuesday, CDC took down any regulations requirements from their perspective for churches. Whereas prior to that, they were saying that churches couldn't handle hymn books or the offering plate, couldn't pass it around, couldn't have communion, etc. All of those restrictions now from the CDC website have been removed, and the folks on the Communist Network News are just petrified because don't you realize the coronavirus can get you at church?
My.
It sounds as though, Pastor, that somehow, some way, the coronavirus is not at Publix, it's not at Walmart's, it's not at Home Depot or Lowe's, it's not at any of the big box stores. The only place you find the coronavirus is at church.
My.
And it's just amazing to me that people have been so petrified, panic-stricken, hair on fire, and in hysteria that somehow, some way, and you're talking about wearing the mask, some of the best scientific speakers that's now been sequestered and their voice is silenced on all of the social media today, they're taking down anything that's contrary to the World Health Organization and Dr. Fauci and the CDC. If it is from them, it's okay, but if it's from an expert that's true on that, and some of the best experts today are saying that masks are dangerous because you're rebreathing, recycling, and already contaminated air that's going back into your lungs, thus it's weakening your system to fight off any virus, and then once you start taking your mask off, you're susceptible to the pathogens in the air more than you would be otherwise.
My.
It's amazing to me, these people that want the mask worn, and it's sad to me to see that people are simply falling in line and believing the devil's lie, and believing that, in fact, the CDC at one time, just less than 10 days ago, they were still saying that the pathogen of the coronavirus, if it's on a hard surface, could be transmitted. Now they're saying that it's not easily transmitted on hard surfaces. It had people go into the door getting their groceries that's delivered to them, and then they would leave the bags outside, the boxes outside, wouldn't touch envelopes in the mail, etc., think that I'm going to get it just by touching something, and that's been debunked now. And day by day, we're finding more and more that we have been deceived and that this coronavirus has been weaponized by those on the left. But, Pastor, I am concerned with what we see taking place. What is the answer? How should we respond? What are some biblical precepts that you could share with our listeners that would give them hope and help and inspiration and encouragement that they might move forward without fear?
Well, I'll give you another chapter of the Psalms. I love that book.
Amen.
We also have many other books in the Bible that we can go to.
That's right.
And see where the Word of God promises so many things. And if we can just take these things to heart and trust and obey, let God handle the job and not try to handle it yourself.
That's right.
Put it in his hands. There's nothing too hard for him to do.
Amen.
On today. But when you look at that Psalm 103, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And he goes down and says, "Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." This is the man that I want in charge of my life.
Amen.
Dr. Youngblood.
Not government.
I mean, I got news for the CDC on today.
Yeah.
They don't have to give us guidelines because we already have it in the Word of God.
Amen.
If we go to the book of Leviticus, and I'm looking at that right now, we won't go down through it for the sake of time because I know we're just about out of time. We'll be out of time before we're out of word.
That's
on
right.
Today. But listen, the book of Leviticus chapter 13, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23, I believe it is what I'm looking at right here, tells us, in other words, I'm just going to cut it to the quick. It speaks to the person that has a leprosy in Leviticus 13. In other words, he's saying, if you're sick, stay home. The CDC didn't have to tell us that. The Word
right.
of God told us
That's
that.
Right.
All right. And then when you get ready to come back into the fellowship, go and show yourself to the priest and then come and make your offering. And then once you are cleansed, you're welcome to come back into the assembly.
That's right.
We already have that written
can't
in the Word of God.
Than that, can we?
When you look in Deuteronomy 23, it says, anytime somebody goes against the enemy, he said, keep from thee every wicked thing. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness that chances him by night, in other words, if you encounter somebody even in the dark, he says, then shall he go abroad out of the camp. He shall not come into the camp. Amen. So right there, he's telling us again, anybody that's unclean or unfit,
you're sick,
to fellowship among the brethren. You separated. You automatically quarantine yourself.
Right.
This didn't have to come from the CDC, Dr. Youngblood.
Amen.
It's written right here in the Word of God. But where we fail at,
it's from
we don't know
position.
The Word. We don't read the Word. Mm-hmm. These Bibles get thrown on the shelf once we come out of church. We don't pick it up again until the next Sunday.
That's right.
People, we need to read this Word so that we can know and understand what it is we are up against.
Amen.
The Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
The devil don't want you to know the Word, and he's going to use somebody to make sure that you don't understand what the Word is.
That's it. And Brother David, as you're speaking, thought comes to me. That should cause Christians to understand that churches and pastors have the responsibility before God to keep on preaching, keep on teaching.
Amen.
Keep on teaching and keep the churches open. But there's some folks out there that are so angry because churches stay open. Here's an article that says, church refuses to close during lockdown, angering locals. Now it has been burned to the ground. And this article says, this is a church, by the way, in Mississippi, and it's a church that refused to close, and somebody that disagreed with them continued to preach, burned the church down. There was a major explosion in the back of the church, and the whole front blew out, the article says. Crampton, which is one of the officials, also said that he believed that the church was targeted, this is the pastor, that is, for being outspoken and somewhat firm about seeking to protect their constitutional rights by refusing to close during the pandemic. He says, we're in a time where I don't think there's any secret that there's a growing hostility toward churches across the board, he said, and now here are churches like First Pentecostal Church that's sorting through the waters stirring up the waters by the outspoken and somewhat firm about seeking to protect their constitutional rights. In other words, their church was burned down, and they had written on the parking lot then, bet you stay home now, you hypocrites. And they couldn't even spell hypocrite, by the way. That's literally sad, Pastor Davis, when we see the response of people. And this comes out of hearts of fear. Hearts of fear.
Amen.
And when we
Amen.
Think about it, we need to recognize that God has charged us with the responsibility of faith and not fear. What
Amen.
Should we do? How should we respond? As Francis Schaeffer said, how should we then live? And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing nigh. I believe that we need to take a stand, Christians and pastors, and that stand is that we're going to be obedient to God. And as we celebrate Memorial Day, we need to celebrate those who gave their all for our freedom that we have, and we need to recognize the freedom that we have can be taken away if we don't stand and speak up and be careful with what God would have us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.